A Rayo Original Podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Yes, it's the universe's favourite podcast, number one in every chart, number one in comedy chart, the history chart, the politics chart.
Yeah, all of those. Yeah. The world affairs chart, yep. All of them.
Yeah. Yep. The best American podcast has been voted.
Yeah,
and you were there at the beginning, so thank you very much indeed for being a part of this UK success story. A brand new Confessions podcast from your friends then at Greatest Hits Radio. Sister Susie isn't here. She's at Glastonbury.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
I mean, what can you say? I'm sure she's having a good time and everything and all that camping and all those other people jostling her for position.
Glastonbury people.
Do you think they wear ponchos?
Actually, that's an interesting thing. Would you wear a poncho if you're at a festival and it was raining?
I would wear anything to not be at a festival, frankly. But if I am going to be at a festival and it's raining, yes, I would wear a poncho shortly before I hailed a taxi to get away from the festival.
And given that you're fluent in Spanish,
yes,
did you ever wear a poncho in Spain?
No. Good question, though, because, of course, poncho is not the Spanish word for poncho.
What is the Spanish word for poncho?
Well, there's a little... thing that we're going to have later in the show, talking about the Spanish word for poncho.
No.
Got people waiting till later on when I reveal the Spanish word
for
poncho.
No,
definitely not looking it up. Spanish word for poncho, though, what could it be? You have to wait till later.
Holly, what is it?
Yes. Manta or Ruana or...
Jorongo?
In Mexico? That's
they were all
they
Toto
say.
Albums. Yes. Anyway, Matt might be thinking of it as the code phrase for next week, I suppose.
Yes. Maybe think about that.
Spanish for poncho.
Spanish for poncho.
So where do we get poncho from then?
Poncho comes from the Gaelic for rain that comes from sky. Imagine.
This is
imagine. Everyone thinks it's Spanish, but it's not.
Mm. Okay, very good.
Learning things.
Susie wouldn't put up with this kind of nonsense.
She wouldn't.
Later in this podcast, we'll be wandering down the cold marble steps to the parish notice board for some 5-star reviews and correspondence. We'll also make a brief stop at the Mark Knopfler section and, of course, all the fabulous confessions from the Drive Time show this week on Greatest Hits Radio. Graham Sorry's smart speaker tale, rated PG, talking loud and clear. Brian's bad blackbird in Never Gonna Ride a Used Car Again. Nobby's confession, confusion, it's such a terrible shame. But first, we're heading to the US. Of A. For a pizza delivery disaster, I didn't see the event.
No.
The US would have been fine.
It would have been fine.
We're going to the US for a pizza delivery disaster in Marty's tale, Hope of Deliverance, a Paul McCartney reference, I'm sure you got.
Of course.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Marty. Marty says, Simon and the assembled collective, this tale takes me back to when I was a high school student in the United States of America. Ooh. In the mid-1980s, I worked as a pizza delivery boy for the only pizza place in town. The establishment was pretty casual. Cash in hand, of course, and paid only if we did actual deliveries. No workers' details were taken or written. There wasn't even a rota. But myself, like some of my friends, did not have anything better to do in the evening, so whenever I had access to the family car in the evenings, I'd be there in the pizza place trying to earn some pocket money and chat with the other guys. Now, while most nights there were too many of us delivery boys, there was one exception. This was New Year's Eve. Demand-wise, of course, New Year's Eve was a very busy evening with many orders coming in from many lazy party organisers. However, many of my fellow delivery workers had better things to do that night, as you can imagine. Not me, though. To anyone who asked, I explained that all these parties and alcohol and cheap romance and midnight kissing wasn't for me. It's also arbitrary, I explained. Whoever decided that at the specific date the old year ends and the new one starts, it's a very stupid concept. Of course, the sad truth was, I'd have been very happy to go to a party, especially the one fancy party many of my friends were invited to. But the problem was, on that specific year, the party organisers had a very strict precondition. Couples only.
Ugh.
And for me, it seemed such an unrealistic prospect that I didn't even bother to ask any girls. Better deliver pizzas than being rejected by girls who were out of my league anyway, I thought. So New Year's Eve arrives and I work the night. As predicted, there was no lack of work. Coming back from one of my earlier rounds, the shift manager was waving to me for some of the distance. Quick, we have a big delivery to the other side of town. This party ordered 10... I've forgotten to do the accent. This party ordered 10 large family pizza trays. Wow, so 10? So predicting a hefty tip, I took the 10 trays to my car. Just when I was about to go on my way, the manager came rushing by, remembering his accent, and he said, "Hey, this one's on your way. Drop it up first and then take the rest of the party."
Party?
Yeah. He said, "Give me the address of the... Yes.
You can do all of them now. Because he's American as well.
As you can guess, this extra tray was the source of all my trouble. Whoever ordered the pizza turned out to live in a very busy area where it was not easy to find parking. Even the best of days was difficult, and on that partying night, it was just impossible. Despairing, I thought of skipping this delivery altogether and to go straight for the bigger order, but then I saw a possible solution. In one of the street corners, there was an empty private parking space, clearly marked as private. It even had a barrier, the one that goes up and down like a level crossing. For some reason, the barrier was up, though, leaving the parking open. I waited for about a minute to check if someone was coming in, but nobody was. My lucky night, I thought. All I needed was 2 minutes to deliver one pizza. So when I drove to this private parking lot like a mouse into a trap... 2 minutes later, delivering one pizza, I came back rushing to my car to find, to my horror, that of course the barrier was down and I was locked. There was no way out for my car. I started looking around for the owner of that parking space. It took me some time and some inquiries with the neighbours to realise which house this private parking space belonged to. And eventually I knocked on the door. A big, hairy, muscular guy with an intimidating look opened the door. "Yeah," he said. "Well, look, mate, I'm ever so sorry, but I parked in your space by mistake." "By mistake?" he roared. Then, of course, came a long rant about young people and poor education and disrespect, no driving skills. I kept apologising and explaining, but he refused to even discuss opening the barrier. "I will not open that barrier, even if it takes months or years." This was good news for me because I still had 10 pieces to deliver and my mother needed the car to go to work the next day. In my despair, I came up with the only solution I could think of. "I have some pizzas," I told him. "I can give you them as a compensation." "Pizzas?" he repeated, indifferent at first, but then interested. "How many do you have?" For some reason, and I don't know why, I said 4. Anyway, that's what I said. He went, he gave me a long look. "Okay, bring me the 4 pizzas and I will let you out. But if you do it again, don't think so." I quickly ran to the car, took 4 trays of pizza, brought them to the hungry monster, and after he checked them carefully, he softened a bit and let me out. I drove from there as fast as I could before he could see I had more pizzas in the car. Now, here I had some big decisions to make. I could, of course, finish the delivery. I go to the party which ordered the pizzas and bring them 6 instead of the 10. I could return to the pizza delivery place to take 4 more, but I was already on a next strike and you're out with the pizza boss because of previous late deliveries. So I went with my 3rd option. I went to the party of my friends, me and my pizzas. Ah! Although I still didn't meet the prerequisite female date companion condition. Knowing my friends, I thought they may be flexible regarding this requirement. In return, what I brought them was free 6 trays of pizzas.
Yeah.
Did I have a girl? No. Did I have 6 trays of pizzas?
Yes
I did. Mm. And so I got in after short negotiations. I even got a telephone number from an actual girl, which turned out to be a fake, but still it was a start. I didn't return to the pizza delivery place after that and, in fact, did not go near that part of town for fear of meeting the pizza monster. Father Simon, it's not from the pizza place owner I ask forgiveness. He was a terrible employer who made terrible pizzas and I cannot complain about anything because he was a model of unprofessionalism to everybody. Of course, I do not ask forgiveness for the private parking hungry owner who was overcompensated, if anything, by my trespassing. But I do ask forgiveness from the party organisers who may have relied their whole party menu on the 10 pizzas that never came because they only got the 6. Anyway, I thought I got away with the accent thing. I forgot briefly, but I think I might be.
It was there. Yeah.
The thought was there. And then I did do Pizza Monster. But anyway, Sister Holly, who we haven't heard from as a voice of justice and righteousness for a while, but here she goes.
Well, it was a complete disaster, wasn't it, really? Parking in a space which he wasn't supposed to park in the first place. I'm sure he could have found somewhere. Sure he could have found somewhere that's not some private parking space. And I'm not surprised the chap was a little bit annoyed about that. He did get the pizzas, but obviously then caused chaos as that party who wanted 10 pizzas didn't get them at all. And then you just didn't turn up for work after that because of all of everything that happened. Really not good. A disastrous night. What a bad way to start the new year. Yes. And that's why I'm not forgiving at all.
Do you have private parking outside your place?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have a garage.
There you go. Which is kind of the same thing.
I knew it.
Brother Matthew.
I'm going to forgive. Number one, delivering pizza by car sounds like quite a lot of faff. Thank goodness we invented the moped and all of those and the scooters and everything else. Also, who holds a party where only couples can come?
Yeah, what
that
was
feels
that?
Very wrong. Mm. And who's this girl who's giving him his number? She presumably came with someone. Sounds like something else is going on there. Maybe it wasn't quite as clear-cut as it appeared at first sight with your six pizzas. So maybe something else was going on that I've not
yet...
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
But for all of those reasons, I'm going to forget.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Maybe it was a swingers party, you know.
That was my thought.
If it's couples only.
The pampas grass and everything.
Yeah, you might arrive with someone and leave with someone else.
Yeah.
Why does it always go to swingers on these confessions? It always goes down to them.
Yeah.
There must be a lot of them around. I thought this was quite a small thing.
Yeah.
England swings like a pendulum do. Bobby's on bicycles two by two. Westminster Abbey, the Tower of Big Ben, the rosy red cheeks of the little children. Roger Miller.
Roger Miller, of course.
Yeah.
Roger Miller.
1965.
Like that. Yeah.
I don't think that's been played enough on Greatest Hits.
My favourite band. Anyway.
Maybe it's on Greatest Hits Radio 60.
Could be, couldn't it? Roger Miller in the 60s.
He played for Cameroon as well, didn't he?
Roger Miller, yes, he did, yes.
A few years
later. What a
later.
Great dance that was.
Yes.
Roger.
Parish Notice Board time. Matt, what have you got there?
Well, as you know, five-star reviews is what I do, so here are some five-star reviews. Phil from Rochford says, five stars, best podcast in the universe, and when I grow up, I want to be like the fantastic Matt. He's a forgiving God-like man.
God?
He's a God-like man. He's a forgiving God-like. Could have done with a hyphen. He's a forgiving God. Like man. Phil from Rochford, age 50. When you grow up. I mean, right, okay. Well done, Phil from Rochford. Mark Kelly, 5 stars. Great show, so funny. 500 stars from Matt. He's so funny. I love the way he finds reasons to forgive. Hashtag emoji.
Even though they make absolutely no sense.
They make no reason. Quantum Dog, 5 stars, 5 out of 5. It would be 6 out of 5 if Sister Holly wasn't underappreciated so often.
Well, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Underappreciated
Quantum
Sister
Dog.
Holly, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's over-appreciate you.
Over-appreciating Sister Holly.
Holly, your production skills are second to none.
Thanks, guys.
And finally, Mike Wears the Cooler Shoes, all one word. 5 stars, best podcast on the planet. Always listen whilst in the gym, and it's the perfect thing to keep me going on the cross trainer. Simon's great, Matt's hilarious, Susie's fun in the pub, and stern Sister Holly brings gravitas to everything. Keep up the incredible work. Hashtag emojis, heart face, smiley face, dead face.
A skull. Why has it got a skull on it?
Yeah, there's
skull,
no need for that. Mike wears the coolest goose.
Well, I know that, like, a skull, a lot of young people use a skull if they find something really funny. They use
a skull
emoji.
Oh, so we're thinking
emoji.
Mike wears the coolest shoes is pretty young.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. If you're using a skull
emoji,
that's quite
trendy. So those three
trendy.
Emojis together mean we're
the business.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Is it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Or listening to this is like death.
Yes, well, one of those two. Pick what you'd like from that.
Poncho, type of blanket like South American cloak or loose garment. 1717 from the American Spanish poncho.
Poncho.
Meaning from the Araucanian Chile poncho with a TH,
poncho,
which was a woolen fabric.
Woolen fabric, yeah.
A variant of pojo, meaning discoloured or faded.
Faded, yeah.
You're just repeating
everything he said. You didn't know any of this.
No, I did. I was going to reveal it later on.
Really?
That's why I knew about the faded material in the pochos.
So, right?
But unfortunately, we've now ruined that surprise. We'll have to find some other cliffhanger to keep people listening to the end of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. I'm just doing, research.
Good.
Live research.
That's great.
Looking stuff up.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Holly, what do you have from the notice board?
Well, I've got this lovely message here with some suggested merch, actually, from Kazuto. He says, "Hi, Simon. I have just caught up on the Confessions podcast via the GHR app, which is another way we can, you can listen to us. Unfortunately, there is no way to leave a review on the GHR app." Very true for the podcast, obviously.
Hasn't it been wound down? Because the Rayo app is where you should
The Rayo
go.
App,
I know.
Surely,
it
yeah.
still exists, though, the GHR app, I will say.
I think
but
I
Rayo
tried to use it the other
the...
day and it tried to sell me... cabbage or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Anyway.
Yes.
Sorry, carry on.
Well, yeah, he should move over to Rayo, but yeah. he's listening to us and I'm grateful for that.
Yes, of course.
So he's saying that the podcast should have an infinite number of gold stars because that's what we deserve. Thanks,
true.
Man.
Yeah.
So true. I absolutely love this podcast and all its whimsy.
Nice.
I love all the fun so much that I've made a bingo game for the podcast.
Excellent.
This game definitely boosts the fun. Please keep up with the good fun that is Confessions. Kind regards, Kazuto Kirigaya.
Okay, thank you, Kazuto. So,
on this bingo card, then.
Yeah. So, well, I could go through the whole thing, but it's got the classics: Circle of Life,
yep.
St. Custard's when
yep.
it's a school.
Yeah, good.
If there's a funeral, Matt talking over a song intro.
Yes.
Anything to do with siblings? Danger, danger, high voltage.
Yes.
That's on it.
This is really good.
It's good. It's fantastic. There's loads here.
Danger, danger.
Wow. Lined up this week.
I know
well
it
done.
Was. I mean, it's not quite the same when Susie's not here.
Also, Sick and Wrong is on
Sick
there.
Sick and Wrong does
Sick
also
and
feature.
Wrong.
Yeah. And so I did work out that actually so far on this podcast, I know we've only had one confession, but we've already had Matt talking over the song intro, accents, just any accents,
uh-huh.
and the quote, and for that reason.
And for that reason.
That's what you
yeah.
use.
But I like it.
We know that there's many more to come on the podcast because, well, it's confessions, so
yep.
obviously there is.
Circle of Life is there. Spanish.
Spanish, yes.
Yeah,
that's
love
always
it.
Good.
It combines confessions and bingo, two of my first loves. It has to say.
And there's a free space in the middle, which so presumably you could write your own phrase that you think is going to come up.
Oh, good idea, yes.
What phrase
yes.
should we put in there?
That's a great question.
Okay, that's a great question.
It's a system. Is that in there?
It's the system.
Has he put the system in there? Well, that's good.
No, okay, that's a good one. We'll put that
one.
Okay, very good. So keep your additions to the Parish Notice Board coming, and if you've got some suggestions for your bingo card, tell us all about it. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. A couple of mentions here. Max, Phil G. Morgan, Jane Simmons, not Gene Simmons, and Bill Pickard, amongst the many who got in touch with the secret code phrase from last week's podcast, which was funny football sidekick, which is
yeah,
obviously...
I remember that.
The FFS, that's Matt's...
FFS?
Funny football sidekick.
Oh, right, I see. Right,
yes.
Okay. I thought we overstepped a mark there, but that's fine. What we meant there was funny football sidekick.
That
was
just
fine.
I had just said funny football sidekick.
Yeah.
I didn't realise. You're right. Yes, but now I've worked it out, so that's fine. It's absolutely fine.
Well done for working that one out.
Yeah. Mm.
There'll be a new secret code phrase, probably related to ponchos and what ponchos really mean a bit later on.
Or
at the
will
end
it?
Of the podcast. Let's look at the confessions. Screwed up, thrown into the recycling bin in our not-for-broadcast section. Starting with, so it's the Mark Knopfler section, thank you very much. Bill. Going to the pub to watch Chelsea...
Already.
Already bad. Yeah. Win the FA Cup, also bad. With some mates. Sounds like a kind of way to spend the afternoon... But you got so inebriated, you ended up stripping off all your clothes and running down the street naked, singing loudly. I know that's the way Chelsea supporters tend to behave, but we don't need to know about that kind of thing. It is, as Sister Holly would say, sick and wrong.
It is. Although, Matt, didn't you run down the street when
Not
Liverpool
naked. When Liverpool won the title twice, I run down my street. Every time we win the title, I run down my street with a big Liverpool flag.
But you don't live in Liverpool.
No, that's quite true. Yeah, no good spot. But it is my street. So I run up and down the street with the flag. And, yes.
I ran down the street in 1901.
Did you?
Yep. Yeah. Well, I think that was great.
Lovely.
Okay, so Bill, jog on.
Yep.
And Sharon, you really should know this by now, but any confession involving illegal drug taking at a festival Or an absolute no-no. Why did you send that in?
I know.
I mean, I know very that doesn't strange. Happen well, anymore.
Did something happen though when she was, or did she just say I took some drugs at the festival? That can't be a confession, surely.
I think that's all she said. She
that's really
said,
it. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that was basically it. Yeah, goodness, it was only a couple sentences, really.
I think
pretty low bar that one.
Yeah, I think so, and sort of disappointing, Sharon. I thought you were sort of better than that.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
It didn't even lead on to a story.
No.
Either. So
no.
Really, what was the point?
Okay, so Sharon, not only did you take drugs at a festival, but also you sent in a disappointing confession,
yes.
Which is almost the bigger crime.
Yeah,
I think
it
that's
is.
What society
almost
says.
Mm.
I think
not,
that's still
not
illegal.
Literally though. But yes,
is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so don't do that.
No, yes, don't do that, Sharon.
And Bill, don't go stripping off just because Chelsea win the FA Cup, for heaven's sake. Anyway, it's all sick and wrong. We now return to the confessions that did make the cut. So you can relax, really, because these are slightly more... they have a sense of decency and honour about them. Mm. Otherwise, Holly wouldn't have let them on. We're going to go with Graham's silly smart speaker tale, Talking Loud and Clear.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone, just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession, we'll give it a slight PG, I think, a little bit of a PG. Okay, just because it's a little bit like that.
Okay.
Very specific, I think.
Yeah.
We'll say this comes from Graham. Thank you, Graham. Father Simon and the Holy Collective. Let's call it the Holly Collective.
Oh.
My confession takes place from an event only a few weeks ago.
Oh.
And it involves a smart speaker, a strategically placed bedroom window, and the ever elusive truth of a prank gone wonderfully, annoyingly wrong. You see, my sister decided that she needed a holiday, a well-deserved break for her, her two kids, and her partner, James. Naturally, I was entrusted with house-sitting duties. Feed the fish, feed the cat, do not feed the fish to the cat.
No.
Never do that. Wise words. I thought it would be funny to play a little prank. Now, I have to say, I didn't know that this kind of thing was technically possible. But late one night, I addressed the smart speaker. Let's call it Alexa, for example. And I set Alexa to announce, James needs a poo, every time the front doorbell was pressed. I chuckled to myself and forgot all about it.
That's good.
I think the key thing there is from Gray, where he says, late one night.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Yeah,
yeah.
So my sister returned. All was well. The pets were plump. The sheets were pristine. A few days later, a message popped up on my phone. How the hell do I delete it? It's annoying now. I asked innocently, I don't know what you mean. What is it? Her reply was a torrent of capitalization and exasperation, a bit like Donald Trump when he types a message on Truth Social.
Oh, yes.
Yes, you do! Exclamation mark. Every time someone rings the bell, my Alexa tells everybody that James needs a poo, and it's only you that would have done that. End of capitals. She admitted it was funny at first, but her Alexa was stationed by her bedroom window, directly above the front door. So every guest, every delivery person, every unexpected visitor was greeted by a disembodied voice from above, James needs a poo. The postman had heard it so many times, he's taken to saying, you can try prunes, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But seriously, how do I delete it? My sister pleaded. And honestly, I had no idea. I'd forgotten about the prank myself. I suggested that she ask Alexa to stop.
Yeah.
But the device was uncooperative. It won't let me delete it. I keep asking her to, and she goes, I don't know how to help you with that. As funny as it was to me hearing my prank, I genuinely tried to help. I poked through the app, searching custom notifications, but my mind remained a blank slate. I couldn't even remember setting it up in the first place. And here is where my confession takes a turn, because my sister went on to mention that she had told her friend Amanda, my brother has done this and I don't know how to stop it. Amanda, my sister recounted, just laughed. No piece of advice, no hint of surprise, just a laugh, a rather suspicious laugh, like Dick Dastardly. And it was here that something clicked. Amanda, you see, was also well known for her silly pranks. And I had simply presumed that I was the culprit because my sister had said, it's only you that would have done that. And yes, it does sound like something I might have done. But maybe, just maybe, it wasn't me after all. My sister, looking back, noted Amanda's laugh was a little cold, a little odd, almost as though she was relieved to have gotten away with something. In all honesty, Father Simon, I'm still not even sure. I'm not sure if it is me who should be asking for forgiveness or if I should be seeking forgiveness for someone else's mischievous deed. I guess in the grand scheme of things, we shall never truly know. However, James does still need a poo.
Oh, right.
How much cider has Graham consumed for him not to remember actually setting this up in the first place? Mm. So that key phrase when he said, late one night,
yes,
I set up this thing, I think he'd been on his sister's booze.
Yes.
He'd gone to the drinks cupboard.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd helped himself. And, I mean, what a state to get into, Graham, that you can't remember whether this was your prank or not. Anyway, it's obviously not up to me. I'm just the impartial arbiter.
True. Yeah.
Just moderating between harsh Holly and lax Brother Matthew. So let's see where we go. Holly, first of all, what do you think?
Well, as you say, who forgets a prank that they've done? I just find that ridiculous. But even if you didn't do this prank, Graham, which I suspect you did.
I think he did.
But even if you didn't, the fact that you think that it's acceptable to fiddle around with someone's smart speaker and change it to something so immature and gross and disgusting is sick and wrong, as
oh,
I say.
It is. Oh,
and,
that's so true.
It's just not good. Just let's keep it classy in future, guys. And so that's why I'm not forgiving at all.
Sick and wrong, I'd forgotten that, but I suppose there's an element of truth in this particular one. But what if James actually does
need a poo?
Yes.
Every time the doorbell rings. Maybe it's like, you know, one of those experiments.
Pavlov's dog.
Yeah, where every time the doorbell goes, James feels the need.
Maybe there's some truth. But also, Graham is just drinking a lot, I think.
Yes. Yeah, I know. I think he is. Fair play to him because he managed to, I don't know how he changed the settings on those smart speakers. And he's done it after, you know, several rounds of cider. And maybe he didn't do it. So, you know, can't judge him for that. That's what we're doing. But anyway, I'm going to forgive. Because, you know, it's very difficult to do and it's very funny, and this is why I don't get to house it any time because I would definitely do this myself. So, yes, definitely forgiven.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Just not quite sure how you do that and then forget about it unless you are completely...
You would have to be. But then how can you be so drunk as to change the settings on a smart speaker? I'd never be able to do that, but I'm very drunk.
No,
barely able
you wouldn't
to stay
be able
awake.
To do it even if you weren't drunk. I don't know if you'd be able to change the settings.
I don't get special powers when I get drunk. No.
Pavlov's poop is basically with that. And I didn't know, but presumably that's the particular type of smart speaker that's attached to your doorbell.
Yes.
Because our smart speaker isn't attached to the doorbell.
But is your doorbell a doorbell that could attach?
It's a knocker.
It's a knocker, right. Ah, well, we can't attach that to your smart speaker.
And there's a man who sort of stands outside.
Is the one who announces who's coming in.
Yeah, and a man outside who's like a bouncer.
A bouncer.
Nice.
Or those
who
can't come in. Imagine having a bouncer on your front door. Wow, that would be
amazing. How about that? Yes. Anyway, turns out we all seem to have problems with our smart speakers.
Ellen says, unforgiven, my smart speaker still plays Christmas music whenever anyone says good morning, and I can't work out how to stop it, so they have my sympathy. And Jane says, forgiven, smart speakers can be awkward. With a room full of friends, I asked mine to play Love Will Tear Us Apart by Joy Division. Her response was to play varying sounds of flatulence.
Right, okay. Who knew that a smart speaker was so talented?
Oh, dear.
Still to come, we go back to the 1970s with some dodgy work on a Rover P6 in Never Gonna Ride a Used Car Again, a Bruce Springsteen reference, obviously. But first, it's Nobby's confession. Confusion, it's such a terrible shame.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
This one today comes from Nobby. Right, okay. Father Simon, Brother Matt and Sister Holly. It's very much a period piece, this one.
Ooh.
I'm writing to ask forgiveness for my naughty play friends and, of course, myself. As young children, we played on the wood green swings next to the church cemetery from dawn till dusk at weekends, holidays and sunny, warm summer evenings. Our parents had no worries regarding our safety. This was 1970 and nothing bad ever happened. in 1970. Apart from the energy crisis, bell-bottom trousers, and Richard Nixon.
Okay.
And there are a few other things as well.
Yeah.
But not as far as we were concerned, because we were on the wood green swings next to the church cemetery from dawn till dusk. As we enjoyed ourselves, we would often get a bit peckish and a little thirsty. So we would stop playing and make our way down the narrow hill to the little sweet shop called Stratford's at the bottom of the hill. Once outside the shop, we were always pushing each other to be the first in the shop, as it had a very scary shopkeeper. You go in. No, no, you go in. You go in first. Tell us what mood he's in. So the shop was run by Mr. Stratford and his wife. Mr. Stratford was basically Captain Hook in disguise, with an enormous hook for an arm, literally. And Mrs. Stratford wore a lopsided wig with a bad temper to boot.
Wow.
So it's a little bit of J.M. Barrie, a little bit of Roald Dahl, all mixed in here. We loved the sweets, but we were very scared of the Stratfords. More often than not, we went in shaking and trembling, and as we entered the threshold, we were shouted at by Mr. Stratford, "Hurry up and make your mind up, come on." "What's wrong with you, you horrible little children?"
Good voice, I like that one.
Yeah.
It always took a long time to choose what sweets to have. Sour apples, fruit salads, blackjacks, sherbet lemons, flying saucers, aniseed twists, to mention only a few. And it was four for a penny, four for an old penny. Just pointing at Holly when I say that.
Four for a penny, Holly.
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
So you can see why it would take so long to decide. You can't make those kind of important decisions in a split second. So now let's go forward a few days after decimalisation. So that's February 1971. We were playing as usual on the swings when some boys came up on their bikes and they shouted, "Here, chaps, you got to go down to Stratford's. We just been to Stratford's and we just been and got our sweets and everything and we came out with more money than we went in with."
What?
Apparently, if you gave Mr. Stratford a 10p, he thought it was 50p. So for younger listeners and Holly, a pound was now 100 pence, not 20 shillings. 10 shillings was 50p, 10p was 2 shillings, and a 5p was a shilling, and not 12 old pennies as before.
Okay.
Right.
Is that clear?
Yep.
As you can imagine, we couldn't get down the hill fast enough. Picture the scene. There was literally a massive queue outside of the shop, winding all the way back up the hill. Word had spread. We went in two by two. And guess what? We came out with our sweets and changed from 50p, not 10p. A bag of aniseed twist, a jamboree bag and some gobstoppers, spent 8p. We came out with 42p. We went in time after time getting fat and rich. Anyway, it took a few days before Mr. Stratford cottoned on as to what was happening. And by then he'd lost a bit of cash. But Father Simon, Brother Matt and Sister Holly, I ask forgiveness for taking advantage of this scary, grumpy old man and his wife with a wig. And he had a hook. We were only 11 years old, and all we were thinking of was lots of sweets and still retaining our pocket money. This was such a thrill. Plus getting revenge on Mr. and Mrs. Stratford. And isn't this exactly how capitalism works? So really, it's an education for everybody.
Mm.
Well, I'm not sure. That's a slightly controversial view, I think, at the end from Nobby. But this is decimalisation, and probably an awful lot of people got very, very confused, particularly older shopkeepers like the Stratfords. Sister Holly, do you feel magnanimous?
Yeah, so, I mean, Mr. Stratford, he does sound like a cartoon character, doesn't he? Mr. and Mrs. Stratford, sort of a hook for an arm and a bad wig on Mrs. Stratford.
Yes.
Very strange. I think he was quite rude, actually, about the two of them. I mean, I'm sure he just didn't really like having all these school children running around his sweet shop, and they might have even stolen some sweets off him. And
no,
so
they
probably
wouldn't do that. He's just a miserable old man.
He might. He's allowed to be miserable. You know, you get to a certain age, and it's sort of like you're kind of allowed to be a bit like that. And decimalisation is very, very confusing. I'm confused, frankly. But they ended up with more money, and I feel a bit sorry for the two of them. And so that's why I'm not forgiving this, I'm afraid.
10 shillings, 50p. 10p was 2 shillings. 5p a shilling, not 12 pennies.
There you go.
Thank you very much indeed.
Pretty straightforward.
Yes. Matt, what do you say?
I'm going to forgive. And here's, I mean, if you're running a shop, then maybe you should have got your, you know, head around the whole decimalisation thing. because you had the Prime Minister was on the telly, wasn't he, telling everyone what the money was worth? Harold Wilson, Ramsay MacDonald, Lord Salisbury. One of them was on
Churchill.
The telly.
Yeah.
One of them was on the telly saying this is how much the pennies are now. So maybe Mr. Stratford should have been paying attention, and it was all his fault in the end. How did it take days to work out? Come on, Mr. Stratford. Yes, definitely forgiven.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
So here we go with today's confession, which comes from Brian. There's an air of unpleasantness about this confession.
Really?
So I think it's sort of a PG, I would think, if you need that guidance. Simon, Matt, Holly and the rest of the team, take yourself back to 1974. I was 17. Most of my mates were 17. The most important thing to a 17-year-old back then, apart from girls, was to pass your driving test and get a car. I passed my driving test 6 weeks after I was 17, as did many of my close friends. So having passed my driving test, now I needed the car. Insurance then for a new driver was expensive, but nothing like today with the crowded roads. I duly bought a Mark 1 Ford Cortina GT for the princely sum of £95. My dear old dad insured it under his insurance, with me as the named driver, third party fire and theft, so happy days. After 6 months of driving, I, with my two close friends, saw an opportunity to make money by selling second-hand cars. These were the days when you could buy a legal Mark II Jaguar for under 50 quid and lots of other now classic cars such as a Vauxhall Ventura, a Cresta, I thought that was like a drink. a Ford Zodiac, I remember those, Humber Imperials and an Austin Cambridge. Holly, don't look at me because... I couldn't describe you an Austin Cambridge.
Not a clue.
These are all classic cars and you can buy them for under 50 quid.
Mm.
Please remember, Simon, that and the team, most of us were apprentices or trainees with only one of my mates going to university. Wages were low. I was on £8 a week, so the thought of making an extra £10 tax-free selling cars was a no-brainer. So my two close friends, Perry and Bill, put in £10 each and we bought a Rover P6 advertised in the local paper for £25. P6 Rovers were what the police used in the 1970s and white Rovers were traffic cars while the blue Rovers were for crime.
For crime.
A useful handy guide.
Nice.
The colour of our car was olive green and was tired, to say the least. It had a short but current MOT and only slight panel damage, so there was an opportunity to make a profit as the leather interior was in very good condition. The car had automatic tappets, so these were not adjustable and, in our opinion, was the only item that let the car down when the engine was running because they made quite a racket. We duly put the car up for sale in the Wembley Observer for the princely sum of £75. We had a few calls, but were either the wrong side of London or too expensive. A chap then called from Acton, which is about 6 miles away. After he asked a lot of questions, including if the car had noisy tappets, we agreed on a time when he could view the potentially wonderful Rover. Perry then said that it would be a good idea if the car was warmed up so it didn't misfire under acceleration due to being cold. The car was started up, and as before, the tappets were very noisy. The oil was checked and it needed a pint or so. Not having any new oil, Bill then mentioned that his dad used to keep old engine oil in the garden for creosoting the fences. This old oil was in a blue tub from a local pharmaceutical company and didn't have a lid.
Ooh. Oh, well, that sounds fine. Let's put that on the fence and in the car.
Consequently, the top of the oil was open to the elements and had all sorts of things congealed and floating in the top.
Lovely.
There was an old saucepan to the side, which Bill's dad used as a receptacle to decant the oil into jars to brush paint the garden fence panels with said oil. Perry put the saucepan into the old oil and scooped out a slurry of the darkest and thickest oil to put into the car, and we duly poured the oil into the engine. As the oil was being poured into the filler tube, a dead blackbird within the oil got stuck in the pipe and had its little legs pointing upwards. Even after 50 years, I can still see these little blackbird feet pointing to the sky. Bill then started the engine up and Perry poked the bird into the engine with a screwdriver.
Into the engine?
Yes, into the engine.
Oh, right. Okay, well, that's fine then.
It was dead already.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
And as the meat and feathers circulated around the moving parts of the engine, all of a sudden the tappets became quiet. Switch the engine off, I yelled to Bill, which he did. Within 10 minutes of this accidental blackbird service, the chap from Acton turns up with his mate. He looked around the car, then said, yeah, but I bet the tappets are noisy. Start her up, we all said, and lo and behold, the feathers and meat were doing their job as the tappets were really quiet. He tried to knock us down, but we wouldn't budge, so £75 changed hands. We each earned £10 out of the sale, and with the remainder going into the pot for the next purchase. Off he drove in our now sold Rover with super quiet tappets and meat. And from memory, we went straight down the pub to celebrate our first sale and also not to be in if he returned with the car. So, essentially, and clearly, I'd like to apologise to the chap from Acton who knew his Rovers, but obviously not about shoving a blackbird into the oil filler pipe as a cure for noisy tappets. Don't try this at home.
No, definitely don't do that.
I'd also like to apologise to the blackbird, although we had nothing to do with what happened to it. And to apologise to our younger listeners who have no clue what tappets are or indeed points. I have a feeling you might not forgive, but in my defence, we were young and carefree, which is, of course, to be taken into consideration.
Oh, that was smooth.
Oh, that was one of the smoothest
there. Dear.
That was kind of like world service. Anyway, Sister Holly.
What?
Go on.
Why were they trusting a 17-year-old to buy a car from? What was going on in the 70s where they just trusted 17-year-olds? Oh, it's probably fine. It obviously wasn't. It wasn't good, really, what they were doing, just selling these secondhand cars that were just already broken and then fixing them with a dead blackbird. Who on earth wants that? Absolutely dreadful. I feel sorry for the blackbird. I feel sorry for the chap in Acton, and that's why
I'm
not forgiving. It is sick and wrong.
A tappet, as I just checked, is a valve train component which converts rotational motion into linear motion.
Linear motion.
Right. Yeah.
The kids
we all
don't
knew
know
that.
Oh, you absolutely
know
that.
Yeah, I knew that.
Most commonly found in internal combustion engines.
Combustion engines, yeah, but that's right. Yeah.
And obviously blackbirds also work quite well with
them. They do, as it turns out.
Who knew? What an education this is.
Good news. I don't feel sorry for the blackbird at all. In fact, in a way, the blackbird was, you know, helping from beyond the grave of the blackbird, wasn't it? With its use of the lubrication in the combustion engine. So I'm going to forgive. I mean, and also, you know, if you're buying a car from the paper, then, you know, buyer beware. That's what I would say. Make
also
sure
from
that
a
there
bunch
are
of 17-year-olds.
Yeah. You're buying off a 17-year-old. Make sure there's no blackbirds in the tappets. Would be the first thing I'd check. So for all of those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Confess all. Simon Mayer's Confessions podcast.
The blackbird is helping from beyond the grave.
Beyond the grave. Imagine that. Who saw that coming?
That was another example of what Matt does when he just says, he just repeats what you're saying to make it sound as though he actually knew that all along.
That was great,
that
wasn't
was
it?
That was great, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was great.
You must have been so annoying as a brother.
No, I'm so much fun. So everyone says, Holly, ask anyone who knows.
Daddy's copying me. Matt, stop copying your brother. Anyway, that wraps up another week of Confessions. If you've been inspired by any of them, please send in your own two confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Now it's over to Brother Matt for this week's fabulous top secret code phrase.
And the top secret code phrase this week is Spanish for poncho.
But what is it?
Spanish for poncho. Well, we've established it's El Poncho. But it was a nice switcheroo by me at the start of the podcast.
We haven't established it at all.
We did. Would you read it out? You'd looked it up on El Google.
No, that was the online etymology dictionary, which just said
good
poncho
enough for me.
Means.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So Spanish for poncho, what poncho means. But just Spanish for poncho is the code phrase.
The code phrase is Spanish for poncho.
Spanish for poncho, yes.
Okay. So
Spanish for poncho.
Poncho is poncho.
Is El Poncho. But yes.
So you lied to us at the start.
It was a switcheroo, Holly.
You're lying to the children.
It was a bit like that TV show Lost. Yeah, you remember
that? Not in any way.
Where it was all a dream at the end.
It was all a dream.
You said something at the beginning and it turned out to be not true.
Sorry. Spoiler alert, everyone.
It was all a dream.
Anyway, if you're listening this far, you can thread me at Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads or you can post it to me on Blue Sky. Remember to share the podcast with a friend in the shower or a bath and leave us a glowing 5-star review. Thank you very much. We'll be back next week with another bunch of hilarious confessions. Until then, from the cupboard of Tat, although she's not distributed any because she's been very busy on other things, Sister Holly says...
Hasta la vista, baby.
From the gutter, Brother Matthew performs...
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Doopy 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 doo. Yes, I sound great.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Lovely.
Let's Can we just go. Get on with this? Because
Matt's really busy.
Yeah, if we could, everyone, that would be great.